So, my dear, the day you have always dreamed of has arrived. The day you become Bride of Chaotica!
Hello, and welcome to the Brides of Chaotica, a chaotic Star Trek podcast. I'm Taylor, a bonafide Trekkie.
And I'm Elizabeth, and I just know that I am a Bride of Chaotica.
Indeed, you are. Join us as I show Elizabeth episodes of Star Trek that I love and she has no context for, as I try to slowly indoctrinate her into the world of moral dilemmas, anomalous readings, and good old-fashioned holodeck time. Elizabeth, are you ready?
I am so ready. Because
so I'm just going to spill the beans to the audience. I'm just going to tell them.
Oh, tell
them. I'm just going to let them know that as we are recording this episode, or this intro, Elizabeth has already seen the episode.
Yes.
But there's a reason for that. It's because this weekend is just really busy for me, so I don't have...
We both have life that unfortunately does not completely involve this podcast, but we do our best.
Very unfortunately. Yes. However, in order to keep Elizabeth's unhinged prediction time genuine, I texted her this morning and told her what episode we were going to be watching.
Yep.
She wrote down her predictions and she's going to read it for everybody today as we get into the episode. So we're not going to talk about the episode yet, but you know it's from Voyager.
Yes, I do know it's from Voyager.
So, you know it's from Voyager, you know,
I knew Janeway was in it, but that was, when I was thinking about this ahead of time, I was trying to remember what characters were in it, and the only one I remembered was Janeway.
That is fair. But, she's pretty big.
Like, after watching it, I was like, oh, I remember Seven of Nine, and I remember the Doctor, and I remember, I forget what her name is, but she,
Alana?
Her forehead? The forehead lady?
Alana.
Yes.
That's so funny. You usually remember her.
Yeah, I don't know why. What species is she again?
She's half Klingon, half human.
That's what is she really? She's not related to Worf.
She's not related to Worf. I'm sure she. What?
Worf is in.
He's in Next Generation.
That's what it is.
They're the same. Like he's a Klingon and she's half human, half Klingon.
Okay, but he's. Full Klingon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's was born on the Klingon homeworld.
Gotcha.
But he was raised by humans. He has a whole backstory.
Yes.
It's a whole thing.
And then, fucking Neelix.
We still don't like Neelix?
I don't really like Neelix. I don't like him, and I don't like Hemmer. They give me the creeps. I don't know why.
Interesting.
I think it's, like, the fur head with the slightly lizardy skin, and
I don't like how Neelix looks. I will be the first person to admit that.
Yeah, and I know that you're not supposed to judge characters how they look. You're not supposed to judge people on how they look either. But like in this universe, I find myself not able to get over the lizard skin with the fur.
And you know what, Elizabeth? That's okay.
But I apologize for it. I don't want anybody to, you know, I'm sure, obviously there's people that like Neelix, and that's great, and that's so good for them. I can't get past the skin and the hair. The little scaly, I don't even know if it's scaly. It just looks scaly.
It's like, yeah, I don't know what texture it is.
Oh, I don't even want, the word, nope, don't even want to think about the word texture related to his scaly lizard skin.
Oh, God.
Just.
That's a really good point. You know, I said it and it felt a little wrong.
The texture, I'm just, in my head now, I'm just picturing the texture of, like, a crocodile.
Ew, but like, I hate that.
But like with tufts of hair. Like if you took a rabbit.
Because of whiskers, that's going to make you.
No, that's worse. Oh, that's worse. That's so
worse. My God, yeah. Oh, yeah, I could show you some episodes that you would hate.
Yeah, no.
But I really want to because it would be so funny.
Yeah, it probably would be. And if I'm not here, for anything if it's not for entertainment.
We are entertainers.
I am but an entertainer here to entertain. Let me entertain you.
Yes.
I hope you're entertained.
Entertain you. What's that from? It's from like a musical or something. Anyway.
It definitely is. Anyways, so yeah, I remember Janeway being a character, and that's about it. I thought that Data might be a character, but then once I started watching, I was like, no, unfortunately, Data is not in Voyager.
Which, no, but we got your boy the Doctor.
That is true. I do like the Doctor. He's a good, I like him. He looks, okay, this is a weird reference. I don't know why this made me think of, but you know, okay, The Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan.
The butler?
Yes. I don't know why they give off similar vibes. They're both like a little bit sassy, but like both a little bit proper. And I don't know why they just, I instantly, for whatever reason, the Doctor reminds me of, what is his name?
Shit. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to picture.
Chessie. Chessie is
that's the nanny.
Yeah. She's the nanny.
Oh my god, I can hear Lindsay Lohan's voice saying this guy's name in the movie.
Oh my god, 1 minute, I gotta think.
It's not Peter. Oh my god, what is it? She runs up to him and they do the handshake.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to look it up because I can't not.
This is driving me crazy. You don't understand how I can hear Lindsay Lohan's voice.
Martin!
I could hear it. Martin! And then they do the handshake. Oh, I hate that I could hear that in my head. Hey,
but like, it's an iconic movie, so I don't think you should feel bad whatsoever. I watched it for fun.
No, I don't feel bad, but I hated that I could hear it in my head figure it out still.
I mean, I watched that like a couple weeks ago for fun. Like, why not? I truly did. Good. It's one of my favorite movies. Like, it really
is. It's so good.
Also, can we talk about Tie-Dye Girl? Tie-Dye Girl is an icon. Like,
can we talk about how Hallie and Tie-Dye Girl totally end up dating at some point?
1000%. 1000%. Hallie especially exudes queer energy, and I love it.
Oh, yeah. She's a bisexual if I've ever seen one.
She is. 1000%. And, like, honestly, it just, I relate to her so hard. Because
I literally love that.
Tie-Dye Girl, honestly, hell yeah. I love Tie-Dye Girl. I always thought she was so cool.
I was going to say, I totally had a crush on Tie-Dye Girl when I was a kid.
I think Tie-Dye Girl, there's, like, this, like, I think Tie-Dye Girl is like unofficially kind of like a lesbian icon, as far as I'm aware. At least.
I don't even know if it's unofficial at this point.
Well, yeah, like unofficial in the sense that, like, unless you know, you don't know.
What actress played Tie-Dye Girl?
Okay, we got to look this up too. Tie-Dye Girl. Not us spending tons of time talking about The Parent Trap.
This is a Star Trek podcast.
But we also love The Parent Trap.
Because who doesn't?
Okay.
In my humble opinion.
And like the phrase, now that's my kind of woman. When she grabs the duffel bag, I'm sitting here as a teenager and I'm like, wow, yeah, she's cool. I want to be her friend. And I'm like, no, I actually want to give her a little kiss.
I'll give her a little kiss.
Like, she's super, super, I mean, okay, she's a child, but like, if she were a non-child, if she were
put yourself in your child brain.
If I were in my child brain, I'd give her a little kiss.
Just give her a little kiss if I was a little kid.
Here we go. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. Who plays Tie-Dye Girl?
I love that this is a tangent right now.
It has to be, because how can we not? Okay, let's see. Courtney Woods, I think?
If I was her in my Instagram bio, I would be like, Tie-Dye Girl from Parent Trap.
I would hope that she is too.
Like, that is what would be in my bio. No questions asked. I love, though, that you think the Doctor kind of reminds you of Martin, because now that you, the second you said Parentrap, I knew what you were talking about.
Like, truly, though, like, I, for whatever reason, I don't, you just, it's the same kind of vibe.
Okay, am I want to make
you're sure. You're not wrong, is the thing.
Like, that's, they really like, do accurate. Give similar vibes.
I think, I would have to agree.
Oh, here we go. We got an article. Parentrap campers, where they are now.
Not a where they are now for all the campers. That's funny. I wonder if she's still acting.
Let's see. Oh, her name's Courtney Woods.
God, I wonder how much of this I'm going to cut out, or if I'm just going to let it be so unhinged.
You might. Well, I mean, it is Bride of Chaotica episode.
It is true.
Let's see. Oh, it's her only acting credit. Let's see.
What?
Says the New York. Oh, she's new from in New York. The New York native is now married and is the mother of three girls.
Aww.
She is also the founder of Rose and Marigold Photography in Missouri.
That's cute.
Good for her.
That was her only acting credit?
Hey, honestly, if that's your only acting credit, I think that is a great acting credit to have.
You do have a point there.
Honestly, you here's the thing. You say, oh, yeah, I was tie-dye girl. You instantly have an entire generation, if not two generations.
Yeah, that's a good
know
point.
Know exactly who you are.
Exactly who you are. That's a really good point, Elizabeth.
Like, I mean, that is like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that spans generation. It spans communities, too. You know everyone, whether you're in the queer community or not, everybody knows who Tie-Dye Girl is.
You're so right.
That is, honestly, so right. What a career. What a career.
That's hilarious.
Okay. He pulled a yellow devil.
Let's get back to Star
Trek. Okay, we gotta get back. Okay. We're
getting back to Star Trek now.
Yes.
Okay.
Away from the tangent.
For our listeners, will you please, 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 and me, because I'm curious too, will you please read the...
Oh, my prediction.
Prediction time. Yes, please.
Yeah, so I made notes. They were not exact. What I did is I created a rough draft, and I'm going to allow myself to somewhat spin off of that.
Okay.
But basically, here's well, let me go here though, because I had a very like specific idea when I thought about this, and right, so I knew that Janeway was involved, and so that's all that I could really go off of,
right?
And so I thought that this was what was going to happen. Janeway is, you know, she's driving the Enterprise, beep beep, skirt skirt.
She's not driving the Enterprise.
Oh, that's the Voyager. Oh, shit. Voyager. Okay. Well, my prediction is already somewhat wrong. Unfortunately, that never happened up until now. This is the first time my prediction is incorrect.
You're so right.
Yeah, I'm so right. So she's not driving the Enterprise. She's driving the Voyager, beep, beep, skirt, skirt. And they're just, you know, floating around space.
Uh-huh. They're just floating.
They're floating, but like she's also driving. That's how that works. That's how space works. I'm a scientist. So she's going around space, and then they suddenly get stuck in a cloud. Okay? Like a little, you know, like another little nebula, like a little something cloud, like a little space cloud. Like a little, who's it, what's it? We don't know what it is, but it looks kind of sketch. So they get trapped in there, and it begins to slow the ship down like molasses or quicksand. And so the ship kind of gets trapped.
Okay.
So the ship's just kind of like chilling there, and they're like, oh, well, shit. Suddenly.
Oh, well, shit.
Quotes from Elizabeth. Oh, well, shit.
Hey, I think that's a great, phenomenal quote.
Honestly, it is. It describes most of my life. So Janeway's like, oh, well, shit. But then suddenly She starts to feel a tingle in her fingers.
That's weird. Yeah,
just you wait. It gets worse. Oh, and the tingle starts to move all the way up her arms and then up into her brain. And suddenly she starts to feel herself asking, huh, I wonder if the earth really is flat.
What?
I wonder, does peer review research really matter? I think we don't need peer reviewing. Huh. I think that all the scientists are wrong. I am going to become a science denier and a pseudoscientist. The chaos of the cloud turns her into a pseudoscientist. And suddenly everybody on the ship is infected with Chaotica, which is this cloud.
That's
my prediction. That they all become the opposite or chaotic version of what they were. And since Janeway is a scientist, correct?
Yes.
She becomes an anti-scientist.
A science denier.
She becomes a science denier. She embraces the concept of, oh, we only need a sample size of 5. That'll do. She begins to embrace, huh, I don't know about vaccines. Those don't seem so good.
Not the vaccines.
She says, yeah, you know, we don't need to follow procedure. That's not important. Huh. You know, let's make grand assumptions about general phenomena based on this one little thing we observed without testing anything else. She begins to think, huh, maybe everyone else is crazy except for me. Maybe I know better than the entire scientific community.
Elizabeth, do you have thoughts on science deniers? Because it sounds like you have personal experience with science deniers.
I do have personal experience with science deniers. I think it is incredibly just the audacity to think you know something that everyone else is pretending not to know or doesn't know, and then everybody's trying to keep you in the dark. That is what it's like to live in chaos.
Where do the brides come in this prediction?
You know, that's a good question. I hadn't necessarily thought that far.
Episode is called Bride of Chaotica.
I guess maybe the bride part is more of like a... It's more of a...
Oh my god, did I forget to tell the viewers what episode it is? It's Bride of Chaotica. I mean, I'm sure you figured that out from the title.
Maybe you said that at the beginning?
Well, honestly, if you clicked on this episode, you know that it's Bride of Chaotica.
That is true. This is very true. Bride, I think I was thinking about it more in like a metaphorical kind of sense that they
Like when people are like, I'm the bride of Christ, like that kind of thing, like they're the bride of chaos.
Yeah, like one of those weird, ugh, why do people say that?
We're
already talking about science denying. I can't get into religion today.
We're gonna move on from this.
Yeah,
People believe what you want, except believe science, please, because
yeah, at least believe science. Please, please believe. The scientific method works, and we like peer reviewing. That's important, and, you know, we support scientists, as we've said before. I will now get off my soapbox.
Will you?
I will attempt to get off my soapbox.
Okay.
That's my prediction. Basically, chaos ensues, and they have to figure out a way to get out of the cloud. I hadn't thought that far either, as I don't normally think fully through the episode when I make predictions.
That is fair. You don't.
It's more of a, here's the premise, and here's the first 10 to 15 minutes of the episode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I
predicted. All right. I like that prediction. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. I was feeling a little irritated today.
Yeah, I can sense that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's okay. You're allowed to feel however you need to feel at any given moment.
You know, I really love that. My therapist says I need to allow myself to take up space.
Oh my god. Every single one of my acting teachers tells me that.
I think it's good advice. People out there, listeners, whoever you are, Be yourself. Allow yourself to take up space. Don't shrink yourself at, you know, because someone else doesn't like you. That's their problem.
Tell them to fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously don't be a dick to people, but, like, be you. Take up your space.
Like, say fuck off nicely?
Yeah, just be like, no thank you, not today. I'm gonna go be friends with someone else.
I'm gonna go be friends. I love that addition of it.
Just,
I'm gonna go be friends with someone else.
Just like, you know, on the playground, you know, you're just like, you know, Jimmy's being kind of a dick today. I'm gonna go play with Susie, you know?
Oh, yeah, I like Susie. Susie's cool.
That's tie-dye girl.
Susie is.
I actually don't know what tie-dye girl's name is. It'd be kind of funny.
No one else does either. All right.
Anyway,
okay, so
moving on. So
we have your prediction for the episode, which I personally love.
Well, I love it. Thank
you. Fantastic.
And
what were your first impressions of just the episode as a whole?
Okay, well, it opens and I'm hella confused as to why we're in black and white. I'm hella confused as to why we look like we're in a 40s TV show, which turned out that we were, and we were in the holodeck.
Isn't it closer to, like, 1930s?
Oh, yeah, maybe it was the 30s. Yeah, that's
either way, totally. Though.
I was like, this is an old-timey TV show. Oh, the robot. Can we talk about the robot?
Satan's robot?
Satan's robot.
Have you ever listened to one of our other episodes, dude? With your where you're not on it?
I don't think I have. I'm not going to lie. I haven't been able to fully listen to all of the episodes where I am on it.
That's okay. But so when you're not on it, I call our guests.
Oh, Satan's robots.
Well, it's Constance Goodheart if they're female identified. It's Captain Proton if they're male identified. And Satan's robot if they're non-binary or just want to be Satan's robot. Because being Satan's robot is
super cool. Okay. That honestly makes so much sense. I love it. Yeah, I loved Satan's robot. Here's the thing. I want to know who was in that outfit.
Oh my God, I can tell you. It's one of the stunt guys, though, that they, like, know.
Really? Oh, shout out to that stunt guy, because you did a great job.
Let me look it up really quick.
I would love to know. But yeah, loved Satan's robot. Loved the landscape. Loved, what was it? The Empire? No, the
Tarek.
Tarek?
Tarek. He also plays Ayala, which I don't know if you've met Ayala yet. But
I don't think so.
He's just kind of a side character who's there sometimes. So yeah, it's like Tarek? Tarek? I don't think I'm saying
it right. How is the name spelled?
T-A-R-I-K.
Tariq?
And that's not
no.
it. That is absolutely
Tariq?
No, because I've heard Robbie Duncan McNeil and Garrett Wong say it before. I just can't remember how
I'm so sorry to whoever this person is. We're not trying to pronounce your name wrong.
Oh yeah, this person's definitely listening to our
Wouldn't that be incredible?
That would be insane.
They're listening.
I would be like, why?
My work, my beautiful work is Satan's robot.
I would literally be like, why are you listening to this podcast? Go live your life, please.
But yeah, I was like super confused initially, and then it started to make a little more sense. Also, Constance Goodheart's scream the entire time is just like so extra.
I'm pretty sure that, like, actress auditioned, like, with the scream alone.
No way.
She doesn't have any lines in any episode that she's in.
I don't think she has any lines in this episode.
No, I know. And this is, like, the episode. But she's in a, like, one? No, I don't even... She's mentioned in other episodes, but I don't think she's actually
in
it. Oh,
is Captain Proton, like, a reoccurring, like, series, like, thing?
It comes back a couple times.
Okay, interesting.
Not a crazy amount, but a couple times.
It also seems like everybody on the ship is like familiar with this show. Like,
well, it's because of Tom Paris, because Tom Paris is like known on the ship from his like holodeck novels and stuff, and so people know that that's what he does and that's his like pastime.
Okay.
And so this is like what one thing that he just like created, so I think people just know about it.
Got you. That makes sense. That does make sense. So, yeah, anyway, so, okay, yeah, so we're opening, we have the scene, him, and I thought it was Sulu, but it's not Sulu.
No, that's Harry Kim.
Yes, I know. Now that, I mean, yeah, I was like, oh, this is Harry Kim. I was like, okay, this isn't.
Although, Garrett Wong, the actor that does Harry Kim, can do a pretty good George Takei impression.
Is, what series is Sulu in?
That's the original series.
That's the original. Okay, because I remember the movies with Chris Pine. Sulu was in that. So I assume, yes. Like, Kirk, the original series, he's... Okay. So, yeah. So they're, you know, running around and they... Chaotica, they meet Chaotica or whatever, who... What a lovely little evil villain. Just so comically perfect. Like...
So melodramatic. It's so fun.
His eyebrows. He's got hella hairspray holding those things up.
Oh my god, yeah. They're probably gelled or something. Oh
gosh. Imagine just like crackling them and having all the little gel flake off.
Oh gross.
That'd be nasty. I kind of hate that. But like, yeah, he's got this, this like cartoonishly him. Evil facial hair. The little cap thing on his head. It's like a, it's almost like it follows his hairline too. And so he's the perfect comic book looking evil guy.
Which is so, I love when Star Trek can be so like self-aware of what they are.
Yeah. It's.
And like they don't shy away from it. It's so fun.
Like it was cool that it was like this, again, at the time this was filmed, obviously this was like present day interpretation, but. What happened? I forget who makes one of the characters makes a comment about the Captain Proton series about like the fact that, you know, oh, it's interesting to see how people in the past thought about the future.
Oh, Tom Paris.
Yes,
says that.
He says that. Yeah. And I was just sitting there. I'm like, oh, this is funny. My guy. Like, I mean, obviously that's intentional because.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at Star Trek, there is some, you know. Really funny stuff where you're like,
well, especially if you think about like the fact that this is an episode from the 90s series, yeah. Like they're almost calling out Star Trek the original series, which was
in the
60s, because like think about how much technology came to fruition just in those 20 years, you know, like
the internet
literally.
Yeah.
So it's like, imagine, so it's like so funny and comical that they like are kind of pointing that out, that like the original series is an ancient form of what they think the future is going to be like. And it's now so the 90s great. Are doing their version of it. And I feel like there's this self-awareness that like, yeah, we'll probably be wrong too.
Yeah. Like even now, whatever Star Trek's, you know, it's like, and even what, not even in the context of like the shows, but. Even what we think, oh, in the future, you know, flying cars and shit. I'm like, okay, maybe. I probably not.
When are they going to do that, though? I mean, let's be real.
Like, can we talk about the infrastructure that would be in, like, you would have to overhaul the entire interstate system.
We've been talking about flying cars since forever. Like, the Jetsons. Yes. Like, forever. Can we just do it already? Like, come on. I don't like Elon Musk, but if you can make... cars fly, just fucking do it already. Jesus.
But here's the thing though, is we need to at least get people to the point where they're not buying gasoline cars anymore, which is already
then make electric cars fucking affordable anyway. Okay, we're gonna skate by and just keep talking about the fun historical part of the show.
But yeah,
you were saying,
so okay, so this is truly the chaotic episode. You came here for it, folks. It is the most chaotic of the episodes. Yeah, so after that
little... I'm so excited I've been to show you this episode because you'll finally understand why... Or you finally understand why we're named Brides of Chaotica.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I also loved... Like, I heard our little lines. Our little intro and outro lines. I finally heard those. And I was like, oh, I love this. It's wonderful. Yeah, so this opening scene happens. Basically, I don't remember what like actually leads to Kim and Paris leaving the holodeck, but something.
I'm pretty sure that
is it that like
Janeway just. I'm pretty sure just Janeway calls them to the bridge because they're like they get stuck where they are, yeah, and so they can't
nothing's
move
working all of a sudden. That's what it is, right? And like then, you know, she goes to get her coffee black. And you know, Neelix is like, "Oh, like nothing's working. We only have four toilets. The shower things aren't working. It's going to get bad." And she's like, "Well, figure it out, Neelix. You got to do this, guy." And so he's like, "Okay." And he goes and presumably creates some sort of schedule for everybody to,
which is so cute,
abide by. Ugh. I mean, yes, as someone who likes a good schedule and organization, I appreciate it.
No, dude, I understand your aversion to Neelix, but he really does grow on you.
Like a fungus.
Okay. No need to be mean. No, he grows on you. Like, because when I first watched the show, too, I was like, ew, Neelix. I hate his face and how he looks and all this stuff.
I guess.
And I'm not saying that it's my favorite. It's not my favorite way that he looks now, but all of a sudden. But
I need more episodes highlighting Neelix's more admirable traits.
Is that a request? Because I can make that happen.
It's not necessarily a request, as it's a prescription. It's a prescription for myself to combat my closed-mindedness towards Neelix.
All right. Okay.
I'm self-prescribing what I think will be useful for myself.
That is fair.
It's a PSA for everybody. Do what you need to do to take care of yourself and make yourself feel better. Okay. Anyways, so yeah, so Janeway's like, okay, guys, we're kind of in a shit storm here. And if we don't do something about it, it's going to get worse. Typically.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just the general situation
so they're like,
find ourselves in.
They're like trying to conserve power, right? So that's why things are starting. Like things aren't working, but they're also trying to conserve power.
And they like weren't able to shut down like the holodeck or something, right? Like because
yeah, they realized that they weren't able to. Hold on. I need to make sure.
No, you're good. And so they're basically like, okay, well, why can't we shut down the holodeck? Oh yeah, the fifth dimension. Oh, that's what it is. That's what also like I think in the opening scene, Kim and Paris are like, oh shit, what are these little like anomalies like floating? They look like little mini galaxies like in the air, honestly. And
yeah, it's facial distortions. That's what they're called.
Okay, cool. And then the Oppenheimer looking dudes come out.
Mm-hmm.
They look, I swear to God, they walked out and I'm just like, this looks like Oppenheimer. These look like some 50s, 40s. Actually, shit, that's not when Oppenheimer was. That was what the, was it the 50s, 60s?
I think it was 60.
I feel real stupid right now because I feel like I should know that after having watched that movie.
Did you watch that movie?
I watched Oppenheimer, yeah.
I didn't.
It was good. I, hot take, do not think it should have won Best Picture over Barbie, but that's okay.
So I think it was in the 60s.
Let's see. Oh, their work comes to fruition. Oh, in 1945.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay. Well,
I sound like an idiot.
No,
that's
no,
fine.
You're fine. I thought that I didn't know what year it was. Yeah, it says, team of scientists developing this. Yeah, work comes to fruition on July 16th, 1945, as they witness the world's first nuclear explosion. Okay.
Jesus.
Well.
So these Oppenheimer-looking guys.
These Oppenheimer-looking guys step out of this little distortion. They're like, and, you know, Chaotica is like, oh, this is, you know, dimension, fifth dimension. And it's like, okay, whatever. And yeah, so they call back and they're like, hey, they were telling Janeway, like, hey, like this weird thing happened where these fifth dimension guys didn't think we were real. Like they scanned us and they didn't think we were real, but like we thought they were real and they have beef with Chaotica.
Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, so I'm pretty sure what happened was when those alien guys first came out of the distortions, uh-huh. they were super confused.
Yeah.
And because the computer is getting taken over, so they can't shut down the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So these like photonic beings come down
mm-hmm.
and Chaotica's like little characters take them to the castle.
Yeah.
And Chaotica, because he's Chaotica and not a real person, he's a caricature, he's yeah. a villain, he like gets mad at them and is like, fifth dimension, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And so he murders one of them.
Yeah.
And the other one like runs away.
Uh-huh.
And Kim and Paris are sent back into the holodeck to kind of see what's up. So they see the spatial distortions. They walk around. They see that like all the good guys are dead. And they're like, that's not supposed to happen. This is like the 1940s.
Yeah, they see Constance
Goodheart is dead.
And
this is like the era of good guys don't die. Like yeah. they win.
Yeah.
That's like the whole thing. And so they're like shit, we need to figure out what's going on. So they go to Captain Proton's little spaceship. And
the spaceship is so cute, by the way.
I love it. With all the little knobbies yes. everywhere.
And all these little like beep boop beep boop beeps. You know, like it's
so fun. I love that Tom Paris spends his time
in
doing that.
This
like yeah. building that. It's so cute. I love Tom Paris so much.
It's very It yeah, it's just it's very nostalgic and retro and very.
And Tom Paris is honestly so endearing for that.
Yeah, it's he's cool. I like him.
It's, me too.
It's fun. He's adorable. He's just such a little good guy, you know. He's just playing his little comic book TV kind of series storyland, and it's adorable. You know,
find you
a person that has cool hobbies. Find you a Tom Paris. Find you a Janeway. I mean, I don't necessarily know that her hobbies are cute, but she's freaking badass.
Do you know about her hobbies yet?
I just know that she likes her coffee black and that she's a scientist and she's very, very clever and smart.
Oh my God, you're going to love Janeway's hobbies.
But besides that, I don't think I know.
She goes on the holodeck, and there's one holodeck where she hangs out with Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh my God.
But then there's another. Okay, so this other hobby of Janeway's is a little controversial for people.
Oh.
Some people think it's really, like, anti-feminist and think it's really stupid that this is okay. something that they put in the story. I think it actually makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
So she has this holodeck, like, holonovel.
Okay.
Where she is a governess in like the 18th or 19th century or something.
Stop. That's actually
in England, and like it's a widower and his like two kids, and she's like the governess and like teaching them like things. And I feel like that makes a lot of sense from a feminist perspective of like
yeah.
showing the multifaceted ways that women can be, where like you're a captain one minute, but sometimes you want to just be a little governess.
I was gonna say sometimes you just want to be a little lady being a governess, doing governess things. I actually like exactly. that. That's cute. I like it.
But anyway, so yes, Tom Paris has this cute little hobby, and I can't remember. This is where it gets the so for the viewers. I did not watch the episode this week because I was really busy, but I have seen Brides of Chaotica or Bride of Chaotica, the episode. I keep calling the episode Brides the name of our podcast now. I have seen Bride of Chaotica a lot of times.
I
didn't feel the need to watch it, but that is just to say that this is where it gets a little fuzzy for me, where I can't remember when Tom Paris, when they go inside of the little spaceship and Satan's robot comes at them.
I can't,
because I know that
they've decided. I can't remember if they've decided to go in yet or if that happens afterwards. Because I think, you know,
okay, I think Oh, he's exploring it with Tuvok.
That's what it is. Yeah, he goes
with Tuvok. Got it. So he goes back into the holodeck with Tuvok and walks around and touches all the dead people because Tuvok is kind of like us in this situation where he doesn't really know what's going on, but Tom Paris does. So Tom Paris kind of explains to him what's going on.
Yeah.
They
have to fix the little Satan's robot
vocalizer.
They have to fix that. They're able to get him to say, like, he basically is like, oh, fifth dimension's attack, help.
He literally is like, intruder alert. Satan's robot, I just need to say this.
Yes,
Satan's robot is one of my favorite characters in Star Trek Voyager, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah,
because he's so fucking cute.
He is
adorable.
The little shuffle that he does when he walks around.
His little shuffle and, like, his speech that just gets quieter when people are yelling at him.
Yes.
And, like, I can't remember exactly what word that he says, but he says something about, like, intruder, and then he gets bonked by, like, Kim or... like Paris or something, and then he just really quietly says intruder, and it's so cute. I love Satan's robot.
I agree. That was honestly one of the most, like, endearing. I was like, this guy, he's just a little deet-no walking around. He's just a little guy. He's just trying.
With, like, really long arms. Oh, like, I love
it. It's so comical looking too. Like,
love Satan's robot so much.
Yeah, so he's like, and I think that's then Paris and Tuvok are like, oh shit, like, this is not right. Like, you know, the fifth dimension attacking, and we gotta go tell
Jake. The fifth dimension guys come in.
Oh,
or the one guy comes in, and that's when you get the weird, you realize kind of what's happening.
Yes, okay, so forgot about that.
This fifth dimension alien or whatever is a photonic life form.
Uh-huh.
So everything in that species universe is photonically based. So
right, okay, that's the part that makes sense to me. This makes more sense now.
So everything in that species world universe is photonically based. It's like how everything in our universe is what, like, carbon-based or whatever?
Yeah, carbon-based.
So when they're in this holodeck, they went to the holodeck because the holodeck is photonic.
Oh.
And so when they scanned Voyager, they didn't see Voyager.
Yeah.
But they did see what the holodeck was projecting because they're made of photons, and so is the holodeck. And that's why when they see Tom Paris and Tuvok and they scan them, they're literally like,
you're not real.
You're not real. Things in our world aren't made of carbon, or in our universe aren't made of carbon.
That
and so
makes so to much them, sense.
The real world is
Captain Proton, like the holodeck.
Like the holodeck program of Captain Proton. It is Chaotica. So when Chaotica shoots them, they actually die.
That makes sense. Okay.
That's why there was this whole, like, war kind of, like, battlefield happening, because to these photonic beings,
that was,
like, they were being attacked by Chaotica, but to the Voyager crew,
it's just the story.
It's just story, so of course this evil villain is going to kill the thing that he was programmed to kill, which is anything that appears to be a threat.
Okay, so I had no idea that the holodeck was photonic.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why this now makes sense to me, because I was so confused about, I'm like, why are these life forms, like, that explains so much. That clarifies a lot. And
because to these beings, they were being just attacked by this random species that they had never met before.
That is wild. Yeah, I get it now. I'm like, hey, you got
beat. Which is why, and since if if Voyager could have just shut down the holodeck, it would have been over. It would have been
but
done.
They couldn't,
but because they were trapped in the spatial distortion that allowed the photonic aliens to come through, they weren't able to shut down the holodeck, which meant that they then had to go into the holodeck and defeat Chaotica themselves.
And end the conflict. Yeah. So that makes sense. Okay, so Tuvok and Paris are done, like, scouting the scene, assessing what's going on, and they go back, mm-hmm. and then they tell Janeway, and Paris has this thing, he's, like, going on, like, you know, okay, well, his, you know, Chaotica's biggest, like, weakness that we can exploit is Arachnia.
Mm-hmm.
And
I pause. Yes. I know where you're going with this. Let's pause because I just need to say
yes.
that this little round table discussion uh-huh. that they have
yeah.
about like Captain Proton
yeah.
is so funny to me
uh-huh.
and it's so self-aware because that is how Star Trek fans talk about Star Trek.
That's clever.
Because think of us, you and me, for example.
Yeah.
In this situation, I am Tom Paris and you are the rest of the Voyager crew, where I'm sitting here and I'm like photonic forms and life forms and phasers and the holodeck and
Oh my gosh.
And spatial, just like I'm talking about all of these things and I know exactly what they mean and you don't. And that's the exact same as Tom Paris talking about, I don't even know,
all of it.
Ray guns.
Yeah.
Visualizers, vocalizers, uh-huh. death rays.
Oh yeah,
like that death kind of stuff. Ray. Like, but he's telling the Voyager crew
all about that,
and they have no idea what's going on. So I love when Star Trek gets funny and self-aware. As much as we talk about how influential they are with,
yeah. Like society.
Societal issues yeah. and shining a light on that through a sci-fi lens. They also have moments of just pure self-awareness where they're literally, they're acknowledging the fan base and what the fan base is like. Because
that's incredible. Like, that takes such, like, it's just such thoughtful. There's like, you can tell that the creators and the actors, like, appreciate the fan base and know and want the fan base to know they see them and acknowledge them and love them. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
It's so cute.
It's very sweet. I didn't pick up on that. And I appreciate, like, that's really cool.
Honestly, Elizabeth, after our conversation, you have to watch it again just because it's such a fun episode. Like, highly recommend.
Especially now that I like understand okay. what's going on a little bit better now.
Yeah. Honestly, you should probably watch it again just for your own sake.
Wait, pause for a second. I had to fart.
Can that please be in the blooper reel?
Too embarrassing.
Okay, I won't do it.
Too embarrassing. If I had like a burp, we could do that.
Okay.
There's something less gross about burps for some reason.
What, just because it came out of your butt?
Yeah, it came out of my butthole, and we can't be talking about my butthole.
Can't be talking about my butthole in the blooper? I'm kidding. I won't do it. Don't worry.
I don't know. That would be funny. No, one of these
no,
days.
No, it's okay.
One of these days, we'll get a burp on. We'll definitely catch a burp on camera. Especially if we drink
done.
Champagne sooner to when we podcast, because boy, champagne make me burp.
That is very fair.
Champagne be burping. And
all right.
So do I. Anyways, so okay, reset.
All right, so tell me again what happens at the round table. What do they decide?
Yeah, so the round table, they basically are like, okay, well, we gotta go in here. We have to exploit Arachnia because that's the thing we can figure out. That, like, that's how we can get to Chaotica. That's how we can exploit mm-hmm. it. And so they're like, well, we gotta find someone who can play Arachnia. and they're all just looking, and then Paris is like, Janeway, like, looks at Janeway, and she's just like,
my...
No, go ahead. I was just gonna say, and she's like, no,
I was just gonna say, I love that she's like, and who's gonna do that? And she looks, she looks at Seven of Nine, but everybody else is looking at Janeway.
I forgot about that. Yeah, it is. It's great. And she, and you know, in her head, she's like, oh, hell no. No, shit. No, I can't.
Well, she's not even in her head. She's immediately, she's like, oh, no.
She's like, no, 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 no. Oh, gosh. And Paris is like, no, like, you have to. Like, you're the only one that can do this. Like, everybody's like, yeah, you got to do this. And so she's like, oh, fine, whatever. Let's go do this. She's like, I'll do what I got to do. And so then Paris is like walking her through like, hey, this is what you got to say. This is what you've got to, you know, this is what Chaotica likes. This is what you can say to get him to trust you. You know, call him sire and tell him you appreciate the devilishness or what, the fiendishness of his plans or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what a great line. But
I love, he just goes through the whole lingo of like, this is how you do it, babes.
So it's so great. And he mentioned something about like, oh, pheromones, this bottle of pheromones.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so hilarious later on.
I love Kate Mulgrew's face the entire time this hallway scene is happening.
Yeah,
because you can see the panic in Janeway's face of like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is how, because Janeway is always down to save her ship. Oh, always.
She is.
To save her crew.
She is.
But she's
always
like,
a team player.
This is what I have to fucking do now.
She's like, I'm not dressing up and seducing this idiot.
But she does.
She does. And she does a great job.
She does a great job.
And her outfit is amazing. Would you like to speak to that, Taylor?
I just love the detail that goes into it. Like, as much as I have a crush on Janeway, this, funnily enough, is not one of those moments where I'm like, this is my biggest crush on Janeway.
Really?
This is my biggest comment, like, my, I give,
like appreciation. Like
appreciation and kudos to Kate Mulgrew and her acting ability, because that bitch is... living in melodrama. That melodrama is in her soul. But here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. So I'm getting trained currently in the same technique that Kate Mulgrew was trained in. And so right now we are literally learning about like quote unquote covered actions,
okay,
which are like, what is our character feeling and what are they presenting? And when does that break?
Ooh.
And my favorite thing to think about in this scene, or like the scene where she is in the castle and like doing the whole thing to defeat Chaotica.
Yeah.
Is it's just covered actions of like, she's feeling so ridiculous. She doesn't want to do this, but she has to. Like, that's what's inside. But on the outside, she has to present as a regal queen who's so into everything that's happening. Like, covered actions are often opposite of each other. And she just does such a great job, Kate Mulgrew, of breaking and knowing when to not break.
Yeah.
That barrier between... Janeway is not an actor.
Yep.
But she has to be right now.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I love, like, any, like, the look on her face where, when she's, like, talking and she, like, all of a sudden, like, thinks about the word she's saying because she's like, oh, your clever fiendishness. Like, she like, takes a pause and is like, oh, fuck, what's the fucking
term?
Oh, yes. Like, it's so good and beautiful to watch.
Or even her voice, too. Like, her accent that she puts on is, like, that typical, like, 30s, like, what is it? It's like the transatlantic kind of, it's not quite that.
Mid-Atlantic.
It's called Mid-Atlantic. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. That, like, Mid-Atlantic kind of, and especially, like,
there is like a stereotypical like evil, like sorceress, evil queen quality to it. That I don't know what the term is to describe that, but all I can think of is like it gives me Disney animated Snow White evil queen and Maleficent vibe.
And well, she even has the collar like the evil queen.
It gave me Snow White evil queen, and then like the black hair too. I'm assuming it's black. I mean, I know it's in black and white, but like,
I think it's, is it brown?
I don't know. It might be. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure there are pictures of it in color.
Okay.
From the set.
In my head, I was just picturing it is this like raven black hair, you know, like, but it's obviously it could be a different color and it's just showing up as black because it's black and white.
Well, I know. God, I feel like there's like pinks and reds in the actual set in person because they show up as gray on or black on camera.
Whoa, wait. Okay.
It's like really weird.
Wow.
Like I think like old Hollywood stars used to wear like dark green lipstick because that showed up better.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that is weird. That is odd.
I could be fully making that up.
No, I mean, I believe it. But Kate Mulgrew plays this incredibly well. Obviously, Janeway, even though she's not an actor, she plays this incredibly well. And it is, it's incredible. Her outfit's incredible. The dress, the collar, the hair, the whole vibe is awesome.
Oh, let's not forget the doctor.
Oh, the doctor who plays the president of Earth. Stop. Like, this man is the full president of the entire Earth. I just... Here's the thing. I love that the Oppenheimer-looking fifth dimension guys are just like, oh, the president of Earth. Like, okay. Oh my gosh. Yeah, the doctor's really cool. He like goes, what is it he does? He basically talks to...
He basically goes and talks to the fifth dimension aliens.
Yeah, because he like dresses to look like them.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, just so you know, we've got our guy, Captain Proton on this, so...
Let
him do his thing, since he won't, because it's Tom Paris, and Tom Paris won't show up on their reading, so he's like, hey, just let him like handle this, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because the doctor, like, I don't want to know what, I don't know what the term is, but he basically makes it to where he appears as a photonic being.
Well, he is photonic. The doctor's a hologram, remember?
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
That's why he's the only one that can go in and actually talk to them, because he's the only one that registers as a real life form. You keep forgetting that he's a hologram.
Yeah, I sure do. I sure do. Well, that also is good. That also makes things clear. I'm like, how did they just make him into a photonic being?
He is one.
So, full disclosure, I definitely had champagne while I was watching this episode. So that also may account for the fact that I didn't quite understand what was going on.
That's okay.
But you know, it's okay. Sometimes you just gotta take, you know, you gotta have some champagne at the end of the school year.
Friday night
is the end of the school year. I mean, I have finals coming up, but you know, we're out here just trying to, you know, champagne's real tasty. And
you don't have to defend why you had a glass of champagne on a Friday night to our listeners.
No, I'm not defending it. I'm just putting it out there. You know, for anyone, again, if you're of age, you haven't had champagne, have some champagne, treat yourself, you know, pop a little bubbly and just watch some Star Trek.
Honestly, it is a good time to do so.
Yeah.
I can confirm.
So much funnier.
Well, this episode is already really hilarious.
This episode is just, it's incredibly, like, I know I've been used to it.
Because it's so satirical and meta, and it's so talking about itself,
and it's just the only word I can think of is just extra. It's such an extra episode.
It's campy. That is a better word.
In a good way, though.
Yeah, it's campy is a good thing.
No, not campy. I said extra.
Oh, I said campy.
Oh, but campy. Yes, it is campy. It is extra. It is. Read all about it.
Extra, extra.
Read all about it.
And then, so just to wrap up the end of this.
Oh, yeah.
It's
basically, they, what was it? Oh, yeah. So Janeway's going on about, like, the this electricity barrier or something, or electric barrier.
It's like kind of like force fields. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she keeps on trying to get Chaotica to, like, say, oh, okay, like, I need you to take your force fields down, like, so that my subjects can come. Oh, yeah. Oh, and then he asks, completely skipped over the fact that he's like, you will become bride of Chaotica. Yeah, and then so she's like, oh, well, I can exploit this. And she's like, hey, I need you to bring down your force fields so that my loyal subjects can come witness this blessed event. And he's like, okay, all right. Well, you know, you keep on talking about these force fields. And she's like, I'm just so excited about everything going on. And it's, you can, you're like, oh, come on, Jamie, you got to play this a little harder. And
right.
Then she gets trapped, basically.
Well, yeah, because she, like, really hits hard the force field thing. And then she's like, this death ray. And she, like, tries to, like,
she tries
overtake it, and it doesn't work. And so he traps her, and he, like, ties her to the beam. Or, like, he puts her in a cage and then ties her to the beam. And then, but then she uses her pheromones. Because within the first, like, 10 seconds of her being there, she, like, grabs the pheromones and puts them in her sleeve. Oh, yes,
on this little, like, velvet-looking, like, cushion on a pedestal. Like, what the hell?
Wouldn't you put Queen Arachnia's pheromones on a pedestal? I would.
I probably would.
I would.
I probably would. Probably smells real good. Just, you know, no spider smell. Just, let's, you know.
Just sexy pheromones.
Just sexy pheromones. Just.
So. When she is trapped, uncorks them to the guy, but it misses Chaotica and it hits the guy, the like henchman.
He comes over, starts to like untie her, and then Chaotica's like, what the fuck, dude? I hired you to, you know, and he, doesn't he like shoot the guy or something?
I think so.
He, like, shoots some guy. I'm like, dude, you asshole. And so, and then Arachnia is like, she pulls out the phaser. No, the stun gun or whatever.
The ray gun. Yeah, because she, oh gosh, this is fuzzy for me. She like, she's able to lower the force fields after she gets away from the little being tied up. And then so Paris and Kim are able to like get through and like help defend against Chaotica's people, and then I don't remember how she shoots him, but she does shoot him at the end.
I thought that she grabbed the ray gun or the stunner gun like out of the like the guy that was freeing her. Like I thought she grabbed it out of his like
got it. That makes something. Sense.
Yeah, so she, like, shoots the two other, like, minion helpers that are in there, and then I think she shoots Chaotica.
Which I love that she made it a dramatic moment. Like, Janeway made it a dramatic moment for Janeway.
Yes.
Like, I feel like that's when you got to really see her have a little fun.
Yeah.
Where she, like, I think Janeway was having fun this whole time, but you, at the end, like, Chakotay's like, all right, everything's fixed. We're going to move out of the spatial distortion now. Like, great job, Captain. We're all good to go. And she's like, I need a minute. And she lets herself have fun and shoot this guy. And it's so good.
It is awesome. Yeah, she really does. She plays that character so well.
Like, I love this episode because it highlights Janeway, but also because it's a big old group effort. Because we haven't talked about Tom Paris and Harry Kim enough, but they, like, were on the little spaceship doing the doo-doo-doos.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the doctor was there and Satan's robot was there and they were all, like, doing all the little nobbies together. It was, like, a fun time for the whole crew.
It was.
Like, the only people who missed out were, like, Seven of Nine and B'Elanna. And I feel like B'Elanna's like, God, my fucking boyfriend, man, he's just having a good time and I'm gonna just let him have a good time. And Seven of Nine is like, this is stupid. I'm going to intentionally not involve myself unless it's scientifically based.
Yeah, it's it's pretty hilarious. And then they exit, and I don't know how, I can't remember, did like how they got out of the distortion or like the,
I think they're just
stuck
because there still? I think they're able to close the spatial distortions by like letting the fifth dimension people leave.
Yeah, I was gonna say they're finally able to like shut off the holodeck or whatever, and
yeah
okay.
And then they like, the episode ends in the holodeck with the little cute, like, the end.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That is so cute on the little TV.
Yeah, it's like, the end.
Question mark.
Which is, like, such a classic thing of that era of, like, the Flash Gordon kind of, like, sci-fi, like, was such a classic, like, is it the end, though?
Yeah. Oh, and I think even like, I don't know if it's Paris or Kim at the beginning that makes, I think it's Paris that makes a comment about like, or Kim's like, why do they leave you on cliffhangers all the time? And Paris is like, oh, that was just part of the era of those TV shows. Like, So I felt like that was a little bit.
Because they were often used as chasers after like a cinema, like, and so they would have like a question mark at the end or cliffhangers to help so that people came back the next week.
That's wild. Love that. You got some film history in here too.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
So, who is your favorite character?
Satan's robot, for sure. I love mm-hmm. Satan's robot. I just, you know, what a...
I also love Satan's robot.
What a cute little guy. He's...
No complaints from me.
I mean, obviously, love Janeway. She played an incredible role. I, you know...
You don't have to put an asterisk by your favorite character every time and say, well, like, obviously,
it's
Janeway.
It's hard, because it's like, I also...
Obviously, Beverly Crusher.
Yeah, because it's
like, you can like other characters. It's fine,
no,
I swear.
It's more like I just want to shout out her role and performance in the episode. But my favorite character, for sure... is Satan's robot. What a cute little guy.
He's such a cute little guy.
And he's so, like, loyal. And, like, he's, even after he's injured in battle, they fix his little vocalizer and he's still there ready to serve. What a guy.
Just a little guy.
Just
a
little guy being a dude.
Being a dude. I love him.
He's cute.
I love him so much.
Yeah. It was a great episode.
I'm so glad you enjoyed this episode. I've been waiting this whole time to show you this episode. Because I, like, part of me was like, it should be the first episode, but I like that it wasn't.
I think it's perfect having it not be the first episode.
I agree.
Yeah. No, it was great. And you can find us on Instagram at Brides of Chaotica Pod. And if you want to email us for whatever reason, you can email us at bridesofchaotica@gmail.com.
Tune in next week to Brides of Chaotica to find out which episode I'm going to force Elizabeth to watch next. And remember, our next episode is our last episode in our first season.
Woo!
And then we will be going on a little summer hiatus.
And then we'll be back for season two at some
point. Yeah, so for now you'll get to catch up on all of our stuff.
It's awesome.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Somehow I feel comfortable here.